Our words this morning are familiar ones indeed for many of us. They're the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I've been preaching about the 23rd Psalm for a while now. Liz just nodded. She's like, okay. Is it going to be the one where you talk about the Congregationalist ladies in their sensible shoes and the other ladies in their... No, we're not going there. Been preaching about it for a while. If you know my oeuvre, you know where I've gone. The part I think that strikes me this time through is less the part about the green pastures and the still waters. I love that part. I love that part. It always makes me remember the beautiful, peaceful places that I have been. You ever have on Facebook that, sort of it takes you back to like 2013 or something like that, some old photograph of a place that you were? And every now and again I get one and I go, wow, I've been to some wonderful places. I in one case there was a year just after Easter that I went to a preaching conference, and I stayed with Liz's godparents, who are well installed on a houseboat on Lake Union in Seattle, like Sleepless in Seattle, only I get to go there whenever I like. And I had a picture of my feet and my wine glass that I clearly sent to Liz to be like, ha ha. And I was like, that was a peaceful place. That was a wonderful place. Still waters for sure. And there are places in our lives that have that quality, that are like that, that are wonderful kind of oases for our imagination in the dark times to remember, well, February's rotten, but, there was Hawaii that year. I had a colleague in a meeting once who sort of drifted off in the middle of a meeting. He didn't literally fall asleep, but he was clearly not paying attention. And the person running the meeting got very frustrated with him, and she said, Jim, where are you? He was like, Tahiti. We know that, right? We know those green pastures, those still waters. For me, this time, though, I find myself more thinking about the valley of the shadow, that part of the psalm. And it reminds me of a story that I read a while back, because the valley of the shadow can surprise you. Part of the power of the green pastures and the still waters, of course, is that there are no surprises. And there are times in our lives when we're ready for none of those for a while. And what an oasis can offer is a respite from surprise. But the valley of the shadow can surprise us. And I'm remembering this story that I read a few years ago. It's imagining a doctor who dies and goes to heaven, and he had been very, very busy, kind of an ER doctor kind of person. And he had been so busy anyway, he's taken, and up to heaven he goes. He's led an exemplary life, a beautiful life, a caring life, a life committed to healing and healing people in very, very complicated situations. And he gets up to heaven, And it's, you know, like the psalm describes, green pastures, still waters, bathed in light. And he's bored out of his mind, and he's like, this is eternity, really? So he goes, you know, I don't remember who he goes to, but he goes to someone, he's like, and they're like, yes. And he says, is it possible that I'm bored here? And whoever has the power to do these things says, I have a solution. We have another place. And they send the doctor to hell, where he's happy as can be for all eternity, because he spends his time healing as best he can and offering what comfort he can. And he finds in that work, in the valley of the shadow, everything that he has been called to be. And the valley of the shadow can be like that. At one point in my own career, I was a hospital chaplain. And there's a way when you're a pastor, people like the idea that you baptize babies and whatnot. They are like, oh, being a pastor, it's got to be great. It's like weddings and stuff. People on these wonderful days. And then you're like, yeah, well, there are some other days that you also get to be there. And they go, oh, right. I don't think I could do that. But I'll tell you something about the valley of the shadow. When you go and you work in a hospital, what you find is a little bit what that doctor in that story found. He found surprises and the chance to be with people in the hard moments and to offer such healing as he could and to testify, as you do, to the presence of something greater even than the power of death, even sometimes in the very presence of death. You get to be the person who dwells in that space and accompanies people when they're there for the first time sometimes. And it's unbelievably powerful work. And what I would just say about the psalm is that it imagines for us what it is to become people who can dwell not only in the oases, but even in the valley of the shadow. What is it in us that faith can call forth and bring out of us that enables us to sit in those spaces? Because the psalmist is very sure that God is in those spaces too. And what the psalmist imagines is the ability to become those folks who aren't afraid to go there, who aren't afraid to stay there, who aren't afraid to do whatever it takes. This is a time in our life when the ability to endure is especially important. When the ability to abide in the presence of uncertainty and shadow is especially important. When testifying to the power of hope and to truth and to healing such as we can offer it matter in ways that maybe it hasn't mattered, not quite like this, in some time. And so how is it that we can learn to be people who live like that? That's the question of this psalm. And the affirmation of the psalm is not, do this and you become like that. It's just to say that it is possible. It is possible to learn to love one another such that we do that, and to abide with one another such that we can be there in those times. It is a powerful vision. And so no wonder that we recite these words so often in some of the hardest, saddest even, moments of our lives. I see Anne and Todd with us today, and we said them at Tommy's funeral just a few weeks ago. We affirmed these words. And many of you will have had moments like that in your own lives when these were the words that the church offers us when there are no other words to say. Why do we do that? We do that not to sort of help you remember Tahiti in the moment of a hard meeting, but to remember that even in the valley of the shadow, there is a strength that carries us through. And we can offer that to one another. We can learn to be those people. Any of us who's lost anybody knows that in the aftermath of that loss, there are people you expect will be there and who aren't. And there are people you never would have thought of who are there, who turn out to be the exact right person that you needed at that moment, because they can bring something that you didn't quite know, but they have it. How is it that we become those people? That's what the psalm is calling us to ask ourselves. And in these weeks after Easter, when the church proclaims the resurrection and we begin to get our heads around what it is to be the church, no wonder then that we come back to this. We come back to that call. We come back to that summons to find that strength within ourselves, to go where people need to go, and to dwell even in the valley of the shadow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord in green pasture and in shadow my whole life long. Amen.